A62. Number 24B.
Yes. Now, we come to the main point of the book, and therefore also to the main point of our assignment, and that is the last chapter, no, not the last chapter, chapter 5 in my book, the laws. I always felt in the study of Christian Science that Mrs. Eddy speaks about laws, and that Christian Science is built on laws. As he said, Christian Scientists, be a law unto yourself. Always law and law and law. And I never found somebody who could tell me what are laws in Christian Science. The only thing they could explain to me is that laws are laws. Well, that is very simple. Whereas a scientist asks, how can we define, so to say, the elements of a law? So that when we have a general law, that we know how we can evolve and elaborate on any law. So if I know what is the law of gravitation and can write down that law through the various elements or factors that constitute the law of gravitation, like a constant m1 multiplied by m2 and divided by r square, then I know that I have the law of gravitation and that I can apply that same law to every case of gravitation. In Christian Science, we should have that too. And therefore, I always try to see how we could find laws. That puzzled me right from the beginning when I was studying Christian Science at the beginning of the 1930s. I went around from teacher to teacher, from lecture to lecture, from practitioner to practitioner, and asked him, what are the laws? How can we define the laws? And they all only looked blank and said, but, you know, God is law. I said, yes, God is law, but what are the laws? Well, the laws are God's law. It's just running around the circle, just biting in one's own tail. That's all what the answers were all about. And it's actually only until about 1960 that I began to see how one could formulate laws in Christian Science. Actually, formulate them through the categories of Christian Science. So also here in this subject of animal magnetism, I was asking myself, now if I read the chapter on animal magnetism and the text, and even if I see somehow the structure, the layout of that text, what have I gained? I haven't gained very much. I have gained a little. Namely that I have now an overall view what the text implies through that, through those epitomes. It's much more easy to be overseen or to have a survey of it. But then the question always comes up that says, now, what are you going to do with that? What can you do with knowing what animal magnetism is? And I couldn't quite see what I could do with it. Just by saying in mind, well, animal magnetism is a so-called influence, and that so-called influence is an illusion, so what? You see? Or in the second one that she was saying, there is only one real attraction, and that is the attraction of spirit, so what? How can I really handle now animal magnetism? Therefore, the question of having laws that would enable us really to elaborate on that chapter, because laws are almost always so that one can elaborate the law to make it infinitely adaptable. Just as I have said, there is only one law of gravitation, and you can formulate that into a formula and then use it infinitely adapted to the situation. But when then I began to see the whole development of the subject of animal magnetism, I could also see that it follows a certain law. And therefore, I've tried to define those laws here in the text and put them down so that they are defined by the system and not by me. Again, I wanted to see them, that the laws we are stating are system intrinsic and are not laws that we, in our inspiration or our subjective understanding, feel to be true. What we could see, therefore, was the following. If you take page 140, the law of mind at the bottom, I take this now as an example, and the same way as I have put it here, I have elaborated it through the other subject of spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. It follows the same pattern. You always see that I start out the paragraph with the main edition. In the first main edition, the chief emphasis is on mind. Can you see where I am?
Yes.
And then I explain through that paragraph what was the main point in the first main edition. It was all about that one mentality could influence another mentality. That animal magnetism was discovered as an influential power that could be transferred through influence from one mind to the other mind, and in this way could exercise control over the other's mind. Mind small m. Therefore, one could see this is a factor that has been revealed to Mrs. Eddy when she was investigating the subject. Then you always see that then comes another paragraph, like on page 141. The next paragraph is the first theme of the textbook chapter on animal magnetism. So you can see I combined, or I could see the common denominator, the common factor running through the first edition and running through the first theme of the chapter, and seeing that they have a analogous subject, an analogous tonality. Because the first theme, again, in the chapter on animal magnetism is that of the influence of one person to the other person, the influence of the stars to people, again the question of influence. And therefore she would put that influence now into from the standpoint of science and could view it from mind. and therefore at that point define every other influence of animal magnetism as illusory, as an illusion, as esoteric magic, or whatever she calls it there, and establish by that the fact that mind is the only influence. You see how I took, therefore, scientific criteria from the text and from the development of the subject as leading, as a leading factor, as a determining factor, that's better, as a determining factor to define the law that mind is the only influence. And therefore, the law that has been stated then is nothing else but the extraction from all that, saying divine mind is the all influence, there is no other influence. Can you see how I arrived at that law? It isn't that I felt, now, what shall I do in mind in order to handle animal magnetism in mind? And just take some nice ideas from our list of mind and take that as a guiding, determining factor. But that I have taken them from the text. Is that point very clear? See, because that's the point where I'm always attacked. I'm always attacked that they say, that's Max's interpretation. See, whatever I do, I'm always attacked and say, that's his way of doing things. They can never see that I have quite a big scrutiny, or what do you call it? Scrutiny, huh? To really see that I put my subjective interpretation out of the way, and that I let the categories of being, the system of being, show me the system intrinsic factors. So I didn't say mind, say here, is the only action to deal with animal magnetism. Or mind, say, what shall you take out of the whole list of mind, that mind is the creator of all ideas, and therefore animal magnetism has no creator. That would also be mind. But it would not be adapted to the subject of animal magnetism. Which brings me to another point that I may interject here, and that's the following. Can you see something? That if we can really interpret the textbook as the textbook stands, the whole textbook as it stands, really scientifically, without putting any notions and opinions into it, and see the structure of each chapter, the build-up of each structure. And if we see that practically all the chapters are built up along the word order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, that something is being seen which nobody would think in the whole movement of Christian Science, namely that Mrs. Eddy deals with mind in each chapter in a specific way, which she never repeats again. We think what Mrs. Eddy talks about, mind is all over the place, because the synonymous term mind is all over the place. And don't see really that great point that she brings out a specific idea of mind in a chapter and never repeats it again as a subject. Therefore, when, say, in the chapter on prayer, Mrs. Eddy starts out and gives the first prayer of mind, she would use there the ideas of intelligence, of knowledge, of all-knowing. This is really mind in prayer, that mind knows all. When you come to the next chapter, mind is something different. When you come to the third chapter, mind is different. When you come to the fourth chapter, mind is different. And you come to the fifth chapter, mind is different. It's showing that mind is the only influence. Now that is impossible in any other chapter. You see? She cannot, for instance, give a chapter on creation and then show as the first subject of mind that mind is influence. It would just not make sense. Yes? Which you can see, therefore, that there is a very definite law that rules the use of a synonymous term in each chapter. And so, only when we do that, we really come to the point then afterwards that we see, because mind's characteristic is always different from chapter to chapter to chapter, you get suddenly a structured sense of mind, which we didn't have up to now in our exercises. I didn't want to have them, because to start with, this is good enough what we have been doing. But it shows you that afterwards, as one goes on in the analysis of the textbook, one finds out that that textbook is 1,000 times more exact, 1,000 times more scientific than what we were ever dreaming of. Ever dreaming of. But we will never see that if our interpretation is not scientific. Then we'll never see it. Everything is interpretation. Everything is scientific interpretation. And that's the point where I'm accused of. That's the point you must be aware that I stand alone. And that if you follow my teaching, that you know you follow a line that is absolutely alone, that is not shared by anyone else, that is criticized and opposed by everybody else. You must be aware of that. I warn you, you can choose. But there is no bridge between those two. There is no bridge. Either we know how to interpret the text scientifically, or we don't. And if we don't interpret it scientifically, all what we get is just one terrific big muddle-up. That's all. That can be very nice, that can be very helpful, that can be quite nice, that can be heal this and heal that, because everything heals. Even animal magnetism heals. So let's see that you understand at least this one of my book. That these laws are not laws that I somehow through inspiration have seen, but that it is a law that has been distracted out of a terrific long and definite line of development that went right through Mrs. Eddy's lifetime, that is now stated in the chapter, and that from that reservoir of information these laws have been formulated the best I know. I always say the best I know, but at least I have used scientific criteria to formulate them. Is that clear, the process of analysis? Yes.
Max, what you're saying about the inability to understand science is precisely what I ran into when I met with Sleeper and Bert after I wrote them to talk with them about why we don't talk about Christian Science as a science in this scientific age. Because after talking with those two men for over an hour, almost an hour and a half, it was perfectly obvious to me that neither one of those men had the slightest idea of what the hell a science is.
No.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
None.
No. No. They don't know. And because they don't know, they now employ a man as academic advisor from October onward. And they employ a man that fights me from top to bottom. Yeah. And you know what that means. They are afraid of me. They are now afraid of me. And you know what it means for you? Yeah? All right.
We're ready.
You're ready.
Yeah, we're ready.
Good. You know, the issue has now changed, huh? From moral battle or disagreement, huh? And has now finally reached really the core of the whole thing, huh? Science versus religion. Hmm? Science versus what you call demi-science, what you call pseudo-science. So, if you help me, I'm grateful.
Are you running away like David?
I bet I don't. I'm too old to run, you know. I'm not going into the wilderness. I don't need to run anymore. It's too well founded nowadays. It's too well founded nowadays. I can prove everything we state through the textbook, and so I don't need to run.
Well, Max, about 5 years ago, the chairman of the board stated to a student in Boston that in 10 years you would not hear a thing of Max Kepler.
Yes. Yeah. They always thought we are finished. Now suddenly they realize we are here. And we are here more than ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not a new problem at all. I came across, strangely, in my library, two volumes on the subject of the war between science and theology in Christendom.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Arthur Dixon Wright, who with Ezra Cornell was the founder of Cornell University. And this book goes back through from Ptolemy to Galileo and all those people. He takes it subject by subject and brings it right up through and shows how the theologians have always resisted the scientific discoveries.
Yeah.
It's a fact that if you want to have any proof of it, I suggest you read the book. I read both volumes of it. It's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
The Inquisition, the whole thing, they were burning people alive because they were claiming that the earth was going around the sun instead of the other way. That sort of thing. So you're just another one.
All right. Thank God they can't burn me today.
How far do we have to follow you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, can you see now how I arrived at these laws, in order to state these laws? Then, you see, then comes the further step. Once one has stated the law in a general way, then one can always elaborate a law by exchanging the factors of those laws that are variables. See, that's why a law is so universal. If you have the law of gravitation, the M1 multiplied by the M2, there in every case the M1 is another magnitude and the M2 is another magnitude, but the law stays the same. It's always the same. What does it mean in science? In science means, now we come back to the synonymic principle. See? That wonderful principle that says, all right, if you have a statement about mind, you are always legitimately entitled to blend mind with spirit, with soul, with principle, life, truth, and love. Or even more, you should do that in order to have a bigger concept of mind. So if we state a law about mind, like here, that the divine mind is the all influence, we have the legitimate right now to elaborate and put in now a joke, mind as spirit, mind as soul, mind as principle, mind as life, mind as truth, mind as love, and therefore have the influence of spirit, the influence of soul, the influence of principle, the influence of life, the influence of truth, and the influence of love. We come right back to our exercises. Yes? Mm-hmm. You see, we started out giving there first the tools. I said we are first getting the tools right, the tools of blending. Now we come to the application of it, that in the chapter on animal magnetism there is just one definite and clearly defined idea of mind, namely the influence of mind. Now, what is the influence of mind? If we just say, yes, all right, mind is the only influence, mind is the all influence, okay, there is no other influence, that's fine, full stop. No. Here we can set in and say, now comes the synonymic principle, we can elaborate on that very law through going through the seven. Yes? And thereby getting a much more much wider, greater, rounder, warmer sense of the influence of mind. Which means something, you see, something terrific, which means if we interpret the textbook in the first place aright, in order to find out the laws about it. Then comes the next point. They kill me because of that. They would like to kill me because of that. They hang me because of that. You get free of the textbook. You see? You get free of the limited statement of the textbook. The textbook has only 600 pages. That is about, 6,000 sentences. And that's all. And that's very little. We cannot expect that the textbook gives us all. Jesus said that if I would tell you everything, we could fill the world with the books that could be written. This is true of the textbook. The textbook should only lead us to the point where we see the system and its law, and then elaborate that freely. Freely, but system intrinsic. And not through combinatorics, not through speculation, not through some highfalutin mystical sense of the system, but only through system intrinsic variations. Okay.